There we go. Greetings. What's up? It's Deborah. Happy Friday to you. And I'm so happy to have on with me Chris Hughes. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, everybody.
super pumped because we talked back in July. And I know you've been testing and trialing different strategies for content on LinkedIn and wanted to follow up on that. And I hear you have some more juiciness for us on how we can simplify our content marketing strategies. So I'm all ears.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, a lot of what I've been working on the last couple of months, I really dug into LinkedIn and posting every day like in early June. So now I've been at it for about 3 months and every month's improved and just really finding out what works well and, you know, what the challenges are. And yeah, I think it's interesting that a lot of like how you approach LinkedIn content ties across to blog content, you know, in that alignment between creating your personal brand on LinkedIn and then creating your professional brand, like on a blog and within your website, a lot of the concepts are similar. So excited to talk through some of those.
Yes, please do. I think the first thing you had was the difference between a complex and a simple content strategy. So please share.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, you know, something that a lot of people get kind of caught up with and frustrations happen because when you're building a content strategy for the first time and you're thinking about, you know, how you can build your personal brand and how you can build your professional brand, it's kind of a habit to get, you know, what I call starry eyes and think about, you know, I can really blow this out of the water in the first 30 days or the first 60 days if I just, you know, post several times a week, short articles, just try to publish as much as I can to get traction that way. And, you know, then share all those articles on social media, maybe come back, share all those on LinkedIn. But it's easy when you have a really complex strategy like that, that has a lot of different moving parts. You know, we were trying to schedule multiple posts a week and then share those with all your audiences across all your social platforms to get frustrated. Because ultimately, you set goals that are too high and maybe, you know, too complex for the time that you have available. You know, a lot of what I hear and talking to solopreneurs and like startup founders is, well, I just don't have enough hours in the day. So what happens is you set these really aggressive goals and you don't reach those. So it kind of causes you to get frustrated. You get frustrated because you're not, you know, publishing 4 or 5 blog posts a week, or you're not getting all those scheduled across social media. And you don't feel like you're getting any traction or you're getting any wins, like those small victories that are really important, because it's, you're not really being realistic about what you can do with the time that you have available. And then because of that, burnout happens pretty quickly, right? Like you get into it and you figure out, okay, well, I'm not getting the results I want as fast as I want those to come in. So then you get burnout and you abandon too fast when you're probably right there. Like you're really close to getting some traction, not only on LinkedIn. I mean, it's hard to post every day. I think it's valuable and important to post every day. But it's, you know, on blog, you know, on your blog as well, or when you're building your professional brand within a website as well. So if you set those really complex goals and a really complex strategy, it's really easy to get frustrated and get burnt out. And then you just give up too soon because you don't feel like you're getting the results as fast as you should. So I think that's the downfall of diving in head first, like too head first.
Yeah. So the simple version is what?
Yeah, I think flipping that is being realistic about what your day looks like and the time you really have to create content, right? If you're a solopreneur, you're running your own business, like Deborah, I know you are, you know, you run your business and you have all the things that you have to touch during the course of the day. What I hear over and over again is there's not enough hours in the day. So how do you find that time and how much time do you realistically have to create content, whether it's for LinkedIn or whether for it's, you know, if it's for a blog post? Probably 30 minutes. I mean, can you cut out 30 minutes a day? I think most everybody can. You just got to find it. Schedule it hard on your calendar and know that 30 minutes every day is for content creation, wherever that content is. If you can do that and you can set aside that 30 minutes a day, for me, it's every morning early, like first thing, 7 o'clock, I do stuff for myself. And that's kind of how I manage it and it works pretty well. But I think if you can set aside that 30 minutes for yourself every day, you know, every business day, at least Monday through Friday. And you can dig into that, and you write 200 words if you're working on a 1,000-word blog post for the week, or you knock out a quick LinkedIn post in 30 minutes, and you can do that. I mean, almost everybody, you know, can do that, just thinking about what you want to cover. So you just think about it that way. And if you do that 30 minutes every day, it kind of becomes that return that builds over time. And it's simpler because you kind of earn those small victories that you don't get from having the really complex strategy. Because you're getting these, they're motivating, they keep you motivated. You know, you kind of have a clearer picture of what the returns look like when you're doing a little bit each day. And as you, you know, get those wins and you see the results, you know, you're more likely to put the effort in. That compounds, and then your results compound. So I think it's just thinking about it, you know, bit by bit, instead of just diving head first and trying to blow it out of the water by scheduling, you know, 500 word posts a week. Why not do 1,000 word post a week, you know?
So you're suggesting that we actually just schedule a little time each day, but only post once a week to start.
Yeah, especially for blog posts in particular, I think once a week is a fantastic goal. You know, yeah. If you can do 2 a week, even better. But I don't think you don't want to sacrifice depth of those posts for volume. I think a lot of the advice that people will read on the internet about starting a blog is you want to publish as much as you can, as fast as you can, short articles, just get a bunch out there. That's kind of bad advice. More in-depth posts are like 1,000, 1,500 words, 2,000 words, really dig into the topic and speak from your voice are better. You do 4 of those in a month, you're going to see more traction than if you do 2,500 word posts in a month.
Really? I didn't realize that, especially with LinkedIn, because they give you that 1,300 character limit.
Yeah.
For your posts. So you're saying instead of trying to do those posts every day, if you're really tight on time, instead you should focus on publishing an article each week.
Yeah, I think you can kind of tie your LinkedIn strategy to your blog strategy, right? But I think, you know, one kind of short post, like 150 character posts a day on LinkedIn is reasonable. And I think it's something that you can knock out in 30 minutes, you know, relatively easily. But then on the broader scale, you spend a little bit of that time, you know, building up that blog post. So, you know, you're doing one LinkedIn post a day, and then you're doing one blog post a week, and make that as your initial goal. And then if you find out that you can turn those out quickly and you'll get in the habit where you're doing it faster, then you start to escalate it and you take it to where, you know, you do 7 LinkedIn posts a week when you do 2 blog posts a week.
You know? Okay, I got you now. So you're basically saying not to replace the post, but just to start with one blog article, or which is also can also be, if you're on LinkedIn, a LinkedIn article, yeah. And then one post a day until you get into momentum and rhythm with those small wins.
Right. Yeah. And then you're hitting your goals of doing that. Like if you have it set in front of yourself to write 2 or 3 blog posts a week and you want to do 10, 12 LinkedIn posts a week, that's probably not going to happen. Just because of the reality of the time that everybody has available to do it, unless that's all you're doing. So I think it's just better to set realistic goals that you can reach.
Yeah.
And then you start to feel like, okay, this is how long it's taking me to do this stuff. And then you can just, you know, kind of push that out and turn 30 minutes into an hour, and then you can get more done.
Yeah. I like that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of baby steps and starting to build momentum. But let me ask you this. So, let's just say I'm someone, you know, kind of new to this whole content marketing thing. And I say, hey, Chris, I heard that, you know, if you don't post continually on social media, that people aren't going to see your stuff. What would you say to them? Like, you're not, if they're feeling afraid, like fear of missing out on eyes on their content because they're only posting one major article or only posting a few times a week to start.
Sure. I think the social media strategy is kind of a different animal in terms of how you treat it along with the blog posts and how you build social accounts. For me, and what I've always done with Facebook and when I work with clients or from my own Facebook accounts is if you start posting content to Facebook without an audience. I kind of equate it to like yelling down an empty hallway, right? Like if you just post a bunch of posts on there and there's no one there to see it, then that's just wasted effort, right? So maybe a better approach for Facebook is to, if you can afford it, you have a little bit of budget to buy some likes that are, you know, kind of your target audience, right? And you just have like a likes campaign run for 30 days before you want to start to share your content. You know, you can buy likes for like 30 cents a piece or something like that. Or target your audience. So the people that are liking your page are the people that would be reading your blog. And then once you build that audience and you have some people there, then you start to share your content.
Okay.
If you don't have any likes, if you don't have an audience that's engaged, like with your social accounts, you're just yelling down an empty hallway. there's no one there to read it. But that said, I mean, it's valuable to have like social sharing icons on your blog for sure. So people, even if your social accounts are growing, they can share those posts off to their social audiences.
Yeah.
You got the chance of getting traction, getting social traffic from other people that come to read your blog that, you know, to like it and share it externally. So,
you know, I always found this so fascinating because, you know, before I started doing content marketing and I would like read about these authors who had these blogs and they started out in their basement, you know, doing, you know, one post a week. And then all of a sudden they have like 100,000 people following them. I'm like, how do they go from, you know, their aunt and their grandmother and their best friend's sister to like 100,000, you know, weekly viewers or traffic? Like, that jump, like, I never really understood it. So I'm just curious because, you know, like, let's, again, another person saying, hey, Chris, you know, I started this blog. I've been blogging regularly. I've been posting every week. I've been posting on my social media accounts every week, and I'm still getting crickets. What do you say to them?
I think that posting on your own blog and then building domain authority are kind of two separate things, right? And then domain authority is how you get attention in your niche, which ultimately drive more traffic. So, you know, you want to write on your own blog, and that's important, but especially like in that first 90 to 120 days when you stand a blog up, you want to write a little bit on your blog and get four or five really foundational articles on there that are around your core topics. But I think it's just as important, if not more important, to land as many guest blog opportunities as you can with other blogs in your niche. So like if I have a gardening blog, I might write my four kind of key articles about gardening. They're the main points. But then I'm going to go out and pitch as many blogs in the gardening world as I can and say, you know, hey, here are four topics I'd like to write on. Do you have a guest opportunity? You know, let me write that for you. You know, make sure you get like a do follow link back from them, and you don't want to pay for those because, I mean, you don't have the budget to pay to post on somebody else's site. So number one, you want to make sure they're free. Number two, you want to make sure that you get like a do follow link back opportunity. So like if I write the blog, they will link, you know, my website back to me. So what happens with those is every time you do these, and it could be a little time consuming, but it's worth it because every time you do one of those and they give you that link back, you get a link back. And that starts to build your domain authority, which helps you with search positioning. So as you're writing your blog posts, you're more likely to start to rank for some keywords because you have better domain authority. So it's not just writing on your own blog. It's also, in fact, like writing more guest posts in that first like 90 to 120 days in particular. And then as you get a little bit farther down, you can kind of keep a balance between always pitching and writing guest posts away from your blog, but then also writing on your own.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point because I remember looking at an influencer's website and it was like under his about section or contact me, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. It was like, no guest blogs. So it was like big letters. Because it took me a moment to be like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, they don't. So how do you find generous hosts who have a large, obviously, first of all, how do you find people who have a large following and a lot of traffic already to their site? Because obviously, if only two people are going to their site, it doesn't help you if you're a guest blogger on their site.
Right.
And then how do you find the ones that are willing to, you know, allow you to guest blog?
Sure. I reverse engineer this process when I do this kind of outreach. Like recently, I just sent an outreach sequence, like 55 emails to, you know, to websites all across the internet to land some guest blogs for myself to start to build my personal website. So my approach here, you go to SimilarWeb, which is a really good Chrome extension. And, you know, 7 times out of 10, if you click on a website, you click on the SimilarWeb extension, they'll give you some high level, like a high level traffic overview. Like, here's approximately how many visitors the blog is getting in a month. You know, here's kind of what their readers look like generally. Here's how long they've been around. So that can give you a pretty good feel of like how active a blog is. So that's a good first marker. And then, you know, you can also use a tool like Ahrefs or SEMrush, which are really good, like kind of SEO and outreach tools. Ahrefs is just Ahrefs, and then SEMrush. So with those, you can go in and, you know, think about a blogger in your space that is really good and does really well. There are a couple of guys that I follow pretty religiously, and I go in and I just reverse engineer what they've done. So I go and look and see, okay, you can look and see who they gotten backlinks from. And by that, you just click on those websites, see if they offer guest post opportunities. And if this guy that's my competitor has gotten a guest opportunity, it's reasonable I might be able to also. So then, you know, those are the sites that you pitch. And then you just, you know, use other email tools to find the right email addresses and then send campaigns to pitch for those. And then you land them, you write them, and go from there.
Wow. You just dropped some major value bombs right there. I'm going to go back and listen to this again because this is really good. What you just shared was really powerful. I know a lot of people are struggling, and I think the key is not to leave organic content marketing to chance. Like, you are doing things very strategically and intentionally, and you're doing your research to make sure that you are guaranteeing an increase in your traffic flow and in the interest that's being paid to your content.
Right. I think, you know, writing is just one half of it, if even 30%. Like, the rest comes in promotion and in that effort to really, you know, make sure that you're building the authority of your site so you start to get the passive traffic. Because if you're running a blog, what you ultimately want is passive traffic. You don't want to have to be lifting as hard, you know, in year three or year four as you are in, you know, month six to year one to be a progressively lighter lift, because you're getting more and more organic traffic. You're not having to be so aggressive about building that initial traction. But the hard work comes in the first 6 months. That's just the reality, to get it up and going and get them, you know, get some traction and get some momentum.
This is really interesting because, you know, I don't hear very often people speaking as intentionally about their content marketing strategy as I'm listening to you saying now, which is, you know, and that's because I'm not a marketer, you know. I don't hang out with marketers that much. I'm a leadership mentor. So my focus is not so much on these things, but it's really good to hear this. Like, it's really simple the way you're breaking it down. Like, stage one is, you know, you get a few posts up there. Stage two is you do your research and you start landing guest blogging opportunities and being very strategic about driving attention and eyes onto your site through, you know, follow back links or whatever it might be. And then you start actually building the momentum with that, so that even those visitors then bring more visitors and more and more and more. Now, my question is, since it's separate from your social media presence in a sense, which comes first? It's like chicken or egg. Is it your blog stuff or is it your social media stuff? Do you use your social media to promote your blog, or do you just kind of put the same thing on both sides? Like, what's your thoughts on that?
I think with social, you know, once you've built that authority and you're starting to get some traffic base coming in, I mean, even if it's a few hundred visits a month, then you'll start to see like what the demographics are of your audience, right? Majority male, female readers, like what age range are they in? Are they in a particular location? Like, income level, all those things start to pull back if you're using like Google Analytics to track traffic. And then you take that audience and then you buy the likes that I was talking about on Facebook. They're the same people. So then you start to build your Facebook audience off the readership, because you want your, ultimately, you'd like your blog readers to be the similar to your social audience, because if there's a disconnect there, a lot of times if you share a blog article on social, you might not be sharing it to the right people. They're not interested. They're not going to read it. They're not going to click on it. So I think about it, like social comes like three, if you're kicking off a blog, really like 3-4 months down the road. Like you might want to get your accounts, right? Have a Facebook page up there. You're going to use a LinkedIn company page or something like that. Have that up there, but don't really do much with it for a while. Add your friends, you know, kind of let everybody know that it's there. Have an icon on your blog so people see that you have a Facebook page, but not necessarily start sharing a lot until you get an idea of who your audience is from some of that initial traffic. And then once you have that, you buy your likes or those same people, and then you start sharing. So it's just kind of a, you know, it comes a little bit farther down. I don't think like you wait 90 days, wait 120 days, and then it'll be worth it.
Wow. You know, this is really mind blowing for me because I never thought of it like that. I've always been like, oh, I'll get to my blog eventually. I mostly had my presence on social media, but you know, I keep seeing these reminders from very savvy people that you don't own anything on Facebook or LinkedIn, so you need to have it on your property.
Yeah, and that's something I have to tell myself. I think I've spent too much time on LinkedIn in the last few months and not enough on blog content. So, you know, for September and like going forward, I'm rebalancing that in terms of the time I spend every day to make sure the blog's a priority. And it's a work in progress. I mean, but yeah, and beyond that, I think, you know, everybody should try to build email lists. If I had one big piece of advice, like build an email list. You'll even see LinkedIn influencer types who will say, you want a digest of my content, here's my email list. Like join my email list. And they may eventually like be posting a little less because they want people to be an email subscriber. Because you own that. Regardless of what like you said, regardless of what happens to LinkedIn, regardless of what happens to Facebook, you always own that email list and you can always market to that email list. It's yours.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very empowered by that because I know, you know, very early on when I knew nothing, I was advertising on Facebook and I always felt so powerless because, you know, I was always trying to figure out what the algorithms were doing and how people were seeing and who was seeing my stuff. And it just felt so disempowering.
Sure.
What you're sharing today is like a really clear, you know, methodology and mindset to build piece by piece, you know, step by step, a true organic following that is aligned with your message and your content, and that will actually be like a solid foundation for having a business of service for people, actually serving and helping the people that you know you can help the best.
Yeah.
And not having to rely on a whole bunch of algorithms. Yes, there's a little bit there, obviously, with Google and SEO, but it's a little different because honestly, you know how many changes, we know how many changes in like the past few months have we seen on, you know, these major social media platforms. And it's exhausting sometimes trying to figure out, okay, now it's changed. It used to be this, now it's dwell time. Now it's the page, now it's the profile and it's this. And you know, it was an article, now it's a post, it was a post, now it's a video, it was a video, now it's, and it can be extremely frustrating to, you know, be able to just be like, how the heck do I just, you know, add value and not kill myself running around trying to keep up with all these platform algorithms?
Yeah, I mean, we were trying to chase the algorithms. That's a long chase. It's one you're not going to win, because they're changing it all the time. So I think all you can do is find out what works for you and just hammer it home. Do the same thing, because eventually you'll build an audience on, especially on LinkedIn, on how you create your posts and the way that you structure your posts and the voice that you use. If you look at my posts, if you look at my LinkedIn feed, every single post is the same, pretty much. Like there's very little difference there. I kind of play with video a little. But the text posts I structure in the same way every time. I use pretty much the same hashtags every time. I think there's a lot to be said for consistency. I mean, you'll see plenty of people post like tips and tricks type posts, like you should try this, like you talk about dwell time. you know, like the longer some, theoretically, the longer somebody stays on your post, the more it pushes up in the algorithm. I haven't seen any proof of that. I've seen people, you know, post 2 and 3 sentence posts that get massive engagement. So I don't know that has anything to do with it. I don't know where that came from. I haven't seen it. So I think it's more just finding what the structure is that works for you and just sticking with it and being consistent, because then people apply that structure to you and they know when they see your post what they're going to get from it, instead of just trying to always game the system.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, just as a recap of what we've discussed today, it's, you know, just starting with baby steps, getting into a 30-minute a day habit, not necessarily to always even post, but just to get into the habit of content creation on a daily basis, and eventually working your way up to posting daily.
Right.
But more importantly, to make sure that you start with your real estate, with your property on your website and your blog, and later on incorporate social media instead of the reverse, which is what many of us do.
Yeah.
Because we get excited about hearing quick wins and we just want to hop into, you know, doing something fancy, and then we wonder why it doesn't work later. And I've done all these things. So
we're all guilty of it. I mean, we're guilty. So,
and then, you know, strategically and intentionally building that audience on your blog, on your own platform, and then amplifying that with social media once you get a really good sense of who your audience is. And ultimately using the style of post that's most comfortable for you on social media. This is keeping it simple. Obviously, if you have a marketing team, you can get fancier, but if you're a solopreneur, you're a one-man shop or one-woman shop, and you're all the departments, your marketing, your sales, your fulfillment, your all of it, customer service, the whole thing, you don't have the bandwidth to be doing a whole bunch of fancy stuff. You're saying you don't have to do a bunch of fancy stuff. Just find the type of post that works best for you and keep doing that. Right. And then that becomes part of your brand voice, your brand presence. People get familiar with it, kind of like their brew at Starbucks. They know what they want. They get there. You know, there's some people who are like, oh, I don't know what I want today. I tried everything on the menu. But most of us are like, yeah, I just want this, my regular. Yep, the regular. Thank you. Sure. So it actually can be easier to build a solid brand using your social media presence and platform once you've established these foundations on your own domain.
I think that's particularly true with Facebook and, you know, and Twitter even to some extent, maybe not as much with Twitter, but I think LinkedIn and your blog can kind of run in tandem. They can run at the same time because, you know, your LinkedIn posts can kind of be bite-sized snippets of what you're creating on your blog, right? Like if you write a really long blog post, it's 1500, 2000 words, take your first section of that, turn it into a LinkedIn post, right? You're done in 5-10 minutes. And I think you'll see a lot of people do that. Like if you follow people that are really good at, you know, at LinkedIn and do a solid job of it, if you go read their blogs, you'll see a lot of mirroring between what they do on their LinkedIn posts and what they do on their blog posts. So they kind of use their blog posts as a way to pull content out to do LinkedIn posts quickly. So, I mean, it's just kind of, it depends on how you think about it.
I love that you said that, because I would never look for that in a million years. So I'm really glad that you told me that. I'm like, okay, I got the right person telling me the info, because I'll never do it. I'll never go look at people's blog posts and try to see what they're doing on their social media. So I'm glad you did. Well, thank you so much, Chris. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up today?
No, I think that's the takeaway for me, is just keep it simple. Don't get overly complex. You know, set goals that are achievable. No one wants to be frustrated, especially in the world that we're in with all the strangeness going on. Just find an easy way to get quick wins and stay motivated and do a little bit at a time, because it really is about compounding returns. You may not see it for a long time, then all of a sudden it takes off. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Yes. Thank you so much. You've dropped some incredible bombs. I'm actually going to go back and watch this again myself, because I need to take some notes. So I really do appreciate you taking the time out. Can you share in the comments how we can get in touch with you if someone wants to get your help? I'm assuming you do help people with solopreneurs with their business strategy in terms of content.
Yeah, so my website is just chrishughes.com. My email address, if anybody wants to email me directly, is chris@chrishughes.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn, just under my name. Post once a day and, you know, interact with everybody there. But yeah, I do one-on-one coaching. I do small group sessions. I do larger consulting contracts. So happy to help anybody that's in that solopreneur world or is, you know, kind of building a startup and having some frustrations and needs to get over the hump.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. And I really, truly appreciate and value the time you spent with us today. I know everyone who watches this is going to be really blown away by this. So thank you so much, Chris. It's an honor.
It was a great time. Enjoy it always.
Thank you. Okay, guys, we're going to sign off for now.
Bye, everybody. Thanks.